From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this news. The legislative special session is scheduled to end tomorrow, and several items are not resolved, including a bill setting the amount of this year's Alaska Permanent Fund dividend and another bill to set future PFDs. The Senate Finance Committee is considering a bill that would fund permanent fund dividends at $1,100 this year. However, Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration has said that nearly half of the money isn't available. The governor has called for dividends to be more than double that size and to pay for them by drawing more than planned from permanent fund earnings. Even that amount is less than what some Alaskans who provided testimony on the bill want. They want the state to pay dividends under the old formula set in 1982 state law. That would be roughly $3,800. Pleasant Valley resident Michael Kramer was among them. He said the royalties that built the fund would be in private hands if the state didn't own the land.
You know, I expect to get my whole dividend. Not you take it and do what you think is better for it than what I can do with my own money. If you don't want to do that, you can give us back our mineral rights to all our property.
The Senate Finance Committee also discussed a bill that would set dividends in the long term. The bill would scale up dividends from $1,100 to $1,300 over the next 3 years. Then it would make dividends equal half of the annual draw, which would currently amount to $2,350. The Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation Board has said the state should not spend more than 5% of the fund's value each year. Larger dividends would require drawing more than that level unless the state offsets the money with taxes or spending cuts. Corporation Executive Director Angela Rodell says it becomes harder to invest the fund's money when the corporation doesn't know how much the state will spend from fund earnings each year.
You're taking money out of some of the highest, best performing assets of the fund and putting them into lower risk, lower returning assets.
But the larger amount would depend on agreeing to add new annual taxes or other revenue totaling $700 million. If this didn't happen, dividends would grow from $1,300 based on inflation. In other news, work has stopped on a bill requested by Dunleavy to ease the burden on hospitals from the COVID-19 surge by temporarily scaling back regulations and increasing access to telehealth care. The bill became caught up in a dispute over requiring all hospitals to allow any patients to bring a person who supports them during any treatment. And a new survey from the State Labor Department says rents across Alaska have risen during the pandemic. It's also more difficult to find an apartment. Alaska Public Media reported Monday that the statewide median adjusted rent was $1,179 a month. That's up about 2% from spring of 2020. Sitka had the highest rent in Alaska. The lowest rent was found in the southeast Alaska communities of Wrangell and Petersburg. The largest increase was 10% in Ketchikan, but rising electric and water rates may have played a role in that. And vacancy rates also dropped in the last year to 5.9%. Southeast Conference's annual summit, bringing together civic and business leaders from across the region, is scheduled to open on Tuesday in Haines. As KHNS's Corinne Smith reports, this year's event will be a mix of in-person and online sessions with COVID protocols for those who show up in person. Panels will feature political and industry leaders from across Southeast Alaska gathering to discuss economic development and the future of the region.
Southeast Conference's annual meeting will be a blended event, with panel sessions both in person in Haines and broadcasting virtually. Southeast Conference's Executive Director Robert Venables says they're expecting about 150 people to attend in person.
We're expecting everyone that shows up to have been vaccinated or tested negative before arriving in Haines. We're going to mask up throughout the event. And for the most part, we're sequestering on the fairground. So we're going to use local caterers to bring food in and make sure that we're as safe and sequestered as possible.
Venables says participants' tables will be spaced out at the conference venue at Harriet Hall, with hand-washing stations provided and hall doors open for airflow. The usual after-hours events and social mixers have been canceled. He said if participants do contract COVID while in Haines, they've made special arrangements.
We have worked out an arrangement with Airlift Northwest that they will come and extract any of our attendees that test positive during the 60-hour event that we have there in Haines. So we have a provision so that we can address that.
Elected officials, industry, and tribal leaders will meet to discuss a wide variety of economic development issues, from rebounding tourism, healthcare, and broadband internet, to President Biden's infrastructure bill, mariculture, and mining development. Speakers include Alaska's congressional delegation, Angela Rodell, CEO of the Alaska Permanent Fund, and Sea Alaska's CEO, Anthony Mallett. Robert Venables said finding accommodations for participants in town has been challenging, but he hopes the in-person and virtual format of the conference aims to be inclusive.
This hopefully will serve to help others figure out how to have a meaningful event and get business done, bring the causes and the resources together. We have quite a number of individuals and agencies coming that's going to really be helpful to Haines and the region in rebuilding after a very disastrous year.
Southeast Conference begins in Haines and online on Tuesday, September 14th through Thursday, September 16th. There's more information on how to register at seconference.org. In Haines, I'm Corinne Smith.
After a year off due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the Alaska Symphony of Seafood is back. The industry competition event has been hosted annually by the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation since 1994 and aims to promote innovation beyond raw seafood itself in what's known as value-added products. That includes items like ready-made seafood meals, seafood sauces and dips, and even products that aren't meant for consumption like jewelry from fish skin. Julie Decker, the executive director of AFDF, says it's not easy to develop new seafood products.
It's actually really hard work. It's costly, it's slow because, you know, it takes years to develop it, takes years to launch it, you know. Even companies like a Trident, it's like they'll come up with one winner for every 20 products they develop, you know what I mean? And I don't mean Symphony winner, I mean like winner on the marketplace, you know. So it's really something to be encouraged because it's important to the industry.
That's where the Symphony comes in. She says it helps to encourage variety and development in seafood products by giving exposure and a well-known mark of excellence to competition winners. Plus, Decker says, it spices up the market.
It keeps seafood relevant to consumers. So it's not just like, oh yeah, that old canned salmon that grandma used to, you know, eat, and like, who wants that, you know? So we got to keep innovating so we keep consumers buying your stuff.
Companies compete in one of five categories: whitefish, salmon, retail, or foods meant to be sold at stores, food service, products meant to be sold in restaurants, and beyond the plate for items that aren't edible. Decker says the beyond the plate category is especially exciting moving forward.
One of the reasons we wanted to do that is it's a really important area for continuing to shoot for full utilization, you know, 100%, using the resource 100%. And so these are the types of products that come out of that push for full utilization. And so we think it's a really important thing to continue to highlight and promote.
There are also special prizes: Seattle's People's Choice, Juno's People's Choice, and an overall grand prize awarded to the highest scoring product out of the five category winners. Those are decided at in-person events. Lalani Dunn is the marketing director for the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. It's one of the Symphony's newest sponsors. She says having the annual product competition back in person is a big deal.
It's almost seafood tradition at this point. So having it be canceled last year because of the pandemic was such a weird absence for many people, especially some of the smaller seafood companies that participate every year with new items.
New this year will be a Bristol Bay Choice winner. Dunn says the hope is to encourage innovation in Bristol Bay salmon products as fish quality continues to improve in the region.
Anything that could really boost consumption or excitement behind our sockeye is a huge win. And if this event could spearhead or at least hone in on creative minds that haven't been tapped yet, that is what I believe the vision was.
First place winners in each of the five categories, plus the Bristol Bay Choice winner, will be given booth space at Seafood Expo North America in Boston and entry into the National Product Competition in the Seafood Excellence Awards. Decker says the entry fee for the Alaska Symphony of Seafood is purposefully set low at $150 to make the competition accessible to companies large and small. Entries for this year's Symphony of Seafood must be submitted by October 4th. That's the latest from the KTOO newsroom. If you're looking for more state and local news, you can visit us at ktoo.org. I'm Rasha McChesney.